Good morning, Trinity. Welcome to each of you this morning here, and we want to welcome you. There's a couple of cards in the front pew just in front of you. Please take a second and fill those out. And one is the blue one, and the blue one is the real one for you to tell us you are here. And by doing so, you'll also be able to update any phones or emails you've changed, perhaps. Also, there's going to be a drawing, so make sure. I want to make sure you get that in. We don't want to have you overlooked. The other thing is we'd like to also make sure there are prayer request cards. That's the yellowish card. Those are going to be picked up right after the scripture readings. The prayer cards are very important for us to also be in prayer for you, your family, and for us to be in ministry together. So we ask your also opportunity to fill those out, visitors and guests alike. So thank you. At this time, please stand and greet one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Standing, we make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy, and has given his own Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them, we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading for today is from the Book of Revelation, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from Manasseh, 12,000 from Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches on their heads, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor shall any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear in their eyes. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord."
The Holy Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is recorded in the book of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of my name. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this very special day. Can we thank our choir? Just what a wonderful job. I think I hear the angels clapping too. Good job, guys and gals. The Beatitudes are something we're going to be talking about today, and I'd like to have you spell Beatitudes for a little bit of wordplay in a special way. Capital B, space, attitudes. Sometimes if you're like me, it seems like we get a bit busied by life, and we get stretched thin, and sometimes we don't always have the best attitude. And even I can come in and say, have an attitude, and you remember the old story about the boss who was upset with his secretary, and I'm not saying this of Chanda, no, I'm not. It's just a story, folks, okay? And what I'd like to say is, in this story, what happened was, he just really kind of chewed her out. Well, she got really upset, so she went and she talked to one of her volunteers, and the volunteer got upset, and the volunteer went home and talked to her son and really got upset, and the son just went out and he saw the cat in the yard, and he just comes up and kicks it. Now, I just ask you, wouldn't it have been a lot easier if the boss would have just went over to that volunteer son's house and just kicked the cat? And so when you and I start to think about our attitudes, they can affect a whole lot of other people. And so Jesus talks with us about the Beatitudes today, and we're going to take a look at some of these, and hopefully we'll go from a stinking thinking to an attitude of gratitude as we start to hear this. On this All Saints Day, I'd also like to have a set or a focus, if we could, on who are the saints. Some people think that they're a bunch of religious people that we got pictures of, these people who have died. You know? Those are the saints. Now, the Bible does tell us that those who are believers in the Lord, who die in the Lord, are indeed called saints. Sons and daughters of God, saints. But if you look in the book of Romans and Ephesians and other parts of the scriptures that Paul has written, he writes many of his letter to the saints of Rome or Ephesus or Galatia. And I usually don't write letters, nor did Paul, to people who had passed away. And so the saints are you and me who are believers in Christ as well. Followers of Christ, Christ followers indeed. And so as a result, I want you to know it's already getting better, isn't it? You're called a saint. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and look at him with a big smile and say, "You're one good looking saint." Can you do that? You're one good looking saint. There, that got a smile on his face. When you and I start to think about it, we're already happier just understanding that in Christ we are someone special. And by special I mean, in God's sight, a saint, a son, a daughter. Now in today's text we're going to find out that Jesus has delivered this message and he speaks 9 times about how we are blessed. 9 different times. And Jesus was not, in this message, not making demands upon the disciples or commands that they are to follow, but really rather showing them what was theirs yet to come, and some of which they were now tasting and partaking of. So I call these the Beatitudes. And Jesus began this sermon. We don't know where the mountain was. We just know that Jesus took his disciples and took them away from the crowds that were gathering just so they could get away, so they could hear and learn what God's word was saying. The Greek word for blessed, makari, which means blessed or happy. Blessed or happy, we would read, then are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, yes, even happy, Jesus tells us, are those who really see themselves as spiritually bankrupt. Those who really understand how God sees them. Poor and miserable sinners. As we make confession even in our liturgy. Many of us realize that Luther's last words on his deathbed in February 18th, 1546, wrote, "We are all but beggars before God." God has a righteousness, my friends, that is in Christ. He offers us an offer of righteousness that is foreign and alien to us, that is beyond our reach or grasp, but it is truly a gift that God wants to give us. And with the hand of faith, we receive that gift. God's grace and His righteousness declared, imputed, made ours because of His offer of giving it to us. It's in part realized here in this life, but it will be fully realized, and God will award it to us when we cross over the pearly gates and walk through those gates. We will receive a crown of righteousness. Do you remember at the memorial service for Bob Gordon that many of us went to? We talked about the crown of righteousness. A man who had been sick and bed rest for a few weeks, or a few days, I should say. So sickened by cancer that it had eaten his body from the inside out, was now alive and breathing. And that if that wasn't enough, that God welcomed him through the pearly gates of heaven, giving him now that opportunity to see the face of his Redeemer, and to be able to receive and to stand and see that crown of righteousness. And I ask, could you just see Bob with that crown of righteousness? I don't mean the one from Burger King, where he could have it his own way. I mean the crown of righteousness that Jesus awards all of us. A couple of Sundays ago, I received a new robe. I love them. Thank you, ladies. I really love them. But there is a robe of righteousness that awaits you and me and all of us who are believers in Christ. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who see your righteousness not in what you've done, but rather and only because of what Christ has done. For we are but, as Luther wrote, beggars before God. Do you remember in Luke 4 where Jesus had just basically been baptized, and as he's out of now the wilderness journey, now what we see is that Jesus goes to the synagogue, and as he's reading the scripture lessons for the day, you could have imagined Jesus reading those here. He says, "The Holy Spirit was upon me because the Spirit has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Now, he was speaking not only to those who were financially poor, but especially to those who we understood were spiritually and morally bankrupt, impoverished, realizing that they had no means to save themselves or to be made right with God. He says, "The favor of the Lord is upon you. The Lord's favor is with you." This was the Jubilee year. Now, in the Old Testament, it was a wonderful festival. And what we realize is that during this Jubilee year, the 50th year is celebrated where all debts are canceled. All debts are removed, wiped clean. What Jesus was saying, that all our debts with God have been in me, Christ, forgiven, removed, paid for by what God was doing in this Jubilee year. The favor of the Lord was upon them and is upon us. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The comfort Jesus speaks of is for those who mourn over their sinful condition. They shall be comforted by Jesus. Last Sunday during the Reformation's sermon, I mentioned that how Luther had to drive demons, or so he thought, out of his life by beating his body, trying to beat it into submission. He saw, and always saw, that he had fallen short. He saw that he wasn't doing enough. And Jesus says that these shall see, for all the sorrow and struggle that this has brought in their life, and how they fall short, they shall see heaven. They shall be comforted, and their souls will be quieted. Their joy and their happiness will abound as they realize fully how Jesus has set them free. Free from the burdens and the bondage to sin in this life. Jesus says, if you are in my word and my word is in you, and you abide in it, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And later he says, if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You are comforted. We are comforted. And you and I are comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the lowly, those humbled, by life, the life that they shall inherit is understood to be a new heaven and a new earth. In this life, who are these people? They are the good old boys, the good guys, yes. Those who are overlooked, the forgotten man and woman. Jesus promises to thee that these that they shall inherit the earth. Not this dilapidated, decaying, destroyed, contaminated, and corrupted world that we now live in. No, but rather a new heaven and a new earth. One that you heard about in today's epistle. But also in Revelation 21, John the Apostle says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first time. And the earth, first earth passed away. And then I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice say, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will be with them. God is going to be living with us and us with Him. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order has passed away. The forgotten man or forgotten woman is God is not forgotten. Blessed are the meek. You will inherit a new heaven and a new earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, most of us really don't sense hunger or thirst, and we're blessed with this. As I heard from Rocky when I ate breakfast this week with he and David, he told me a military term. If you're a soldier and you got three hots and a cot, you are happy. You're satisfied. Your needs were being met and cared for. And our doctors tell us to stay well hydrated these days, especially in Florida. But perhaps you have experienced a bit of hunger or even thirst, skipping a few meals, perhaps even fasting. But in the heat of Florida, it doesn't take long. Though we live in paradise, we know that we can suffer the pain of dehydration. But the pain and the thirst of hunger and thirst that Jesus speaks of is spiritually. A spiritual appetite and a desire for righteousness. It's your passion. It's your driving force to be made right with God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, or happy, or righteous are you. You're going to be satisfied. You will eat your fill and drink. Your thirst will be quenched, and your stomach and your soul will be satisfied. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will be satisfied. You will have that hunger and thirst that makes life so much more worth living. That will be yours. God wants to give it to you. You get a taste of it here in this life, but it will be fulfilled in heaven ultimately. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Happy or blessed are those who are merciful to others, for they shall receive mercy. This past week, I was at Walmart, I think it was Friday night. And I watched this couple as they walked through the aisles, and I was kind of going the same directions, it seemed like. We kept turning and bumping into each other, and I saw that he, the husband, I assumed, had broken off, and they were very focused and trying to get stuff, and it seemed to be very determined. And I looked at her, and it seemed as though she was bothered by something very terrible. And I didn't really know what it was. I then looked at her as I bumped into her. We were looking for some shampoo, I think I was. I don't know what she was looking for. And I made a comment, and she says, I don't know what's wrong. I can't find this. And this is a new Walmart, and I don't know why they don't have it in the same place. And I said something like, yeah, I know. I have to always try for that too. I said, is everybody doing okay at the hospital? She looked at me as though I knew something that she hadn't told me. I said, I saw your tag from the hospital. And she started to cry. And then she told me. She said, my son and his wife were in a car accident. My son is dead, 26 years old. My daughter-in-law still alive, but we're only keeping her alive to harvest her organs. Tomorrow, she too will be dead. As I looked down, in her hands was a box of diapers, and in the cart, other baby paraphernalia. I simply said, "Can I pray for you?" And we had a prayer there in aisle 13 at Walmart at 9:30 at night. And somehow I know she was comforted. I know that she was mourning, and God, through a simple servant, comforted her. But I think there's a better place for this understanding of this blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And from this story, what was she probably going to end up doing as a grandma and a grandpa? They were probably now going to take these children, their grandchildren, into their family and now raise them as their own, even at this stage in their life, because life had changed for them. And they were going to open their homes, open their hearts, and open their life every day for these children who were now without a mommy or a daddy. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. There have been a lot of things that go on in our lives. Some of them are tragic, filled with great sadness. Blessed are those of you who mourn. You'll be comforted. Blessed are those who are merciful to others, because Jesus is going to show you and promises to give you a special mercy, a mercy that only He can give, and you can never outgive Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are those who don't bend to their knee at the altar of false gods, or whose heart is reserved only for the one true and only God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A God who created us in His own image. A God who sent His own Son to suffer and to die in our place, to offer up His life as a perfect sacrifice, and then paid the perfect substitutionary price by raising Him from death to life, and promises us life everlasting. And so that we can believe it, He gives us God the Holy Spirit to create and sustain faith in our lives. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, who believe that, who don't beg and borrow and start to look at all kinds of other gods that they could turn to. Their job, a career, a political party that seems to claim whatever claim. Our real God is the one true and only God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We believe with our whole heart this Jesus Christ is Lord, is our Savior, is our Redeemer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And because of all this, you and I confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, and we shall see God, even as Job says, "Even after my body is destroyed by earth and worms, I shall see with my own flesh, with my own eyes, the face of my Redeemer." Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. I know all of us probably remember and recall the synagogue shooting that happened about a week ago now. This past week, during the first part of the week, there was a doctor that worked at the Jewish hospital that actually received a lot of those victims and tried to bring healing to those who were still living. And it was also a place for those who had died, that they were sent. One of the doctors himself, who worked at the Jewish hospital and who worshipped at that very synagogue, was asked, "How could you bring healing and help to the shooter who was also taken to that same hospital? How could you actually help bring healing and life restored to him?" And he said, "It's quite simple. We're here to heal sick people." My friends, as I look at the purpose of Trinity Lutheran Church, as I look at the purpose of your life and my life, is it not to help bring healing to sick people? People whom we know who are our family members, who we know are estranged in our relationships, who are wandering throughout the world not finding any real hope and don't see the light. Is it not our job to help bring healing to them? With great diligence and desire and great delight, can we not see our purpose in the faces of lives that we get to touch? The joy that was brought to them and is shared with us, and we realize that we have a whole bigger purpose for our life. It's to serve Him and to love our fellow man. And by doing so, we realize that the meaning and purpose of our life is so much bigger and bolder and grander and blessed when we walk with the Lord in His ways of doing that. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who are persecuted and for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, last week we had the protesters. Yeah. And they stood and they yelled and shouted and put up their banners. But as I looked at the pictures, I think everybody was looking at the angels. And I think what people really saw was the love of Christ of a church that had gathered for worship. I heard the tape of one of the videotapes, and one of the angels said, "What a beautiful church this is." And then she said, "How could they say such things when they're just trying to worship?" Blessed are you, Trinity, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours, ours, is the kingdom of heaven. We have a great reward in heaven, but we have so much to do on earth here. We have much to do, and may God bless our efforts in Jesus' holy name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Make confession of the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again from the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. At this time in our service today, we commemorate and remember those who have passed on from this life to the next and are believers in Christ. We ask that you would simply speak their name and, if you wish, their relationship to you, and we'll simply speak that aloud. We pray. Lord, help us to remember those who have fallen asleep in you. Lord, I remember Lyle, my father. Bob Gordon. Alzina and Mildred, my grandmothers. Lord, these and all those who are upon our hearts and mind, spoken and unspoken, we ask that you would help us to remember and recall the many blessings they were in our lives, the joy that they brought, the comfort that they gave, the wisdom that they shared. May you, O Lord, allow us to have that recollection as we together give you thanks for each of them. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to be reminded also that of the joy of our own salvation, and that one day we shall too go to that place where there's no more sorrow or suffering, death or disease. And for that we give you thanks. And we too shall see not only their face, but your face, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, now hear the prayers of your church. We pray, O Lord, that you have blessed us and brought us to this point of being able to see the blessings of being comforted, nourished, more those who mourn, how we can be comforted, those who are thirsting and hungering for righteousness, how our souls can be satisfied and our thirst quenched. Help us to see that we will indeed inherit the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. O Lord, help us to see that indeed many are the blessings that you have in store for us. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. And now, Lord, hear the prayers for those who have been requested this day.
Heavenly Father, the congregation raises the following prayers to you. For those with health concern, Father, we pray for healing for Isabella, for healing from gastritis. For Darty, for relief of back pain. For Glenn, for successful outpatient surgery. For Raphael, for healing after hospitalized from complications from surgery. And for healing and peace for Carmen's aunt, recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And continued prayers for Peggy, for positive results from her chemotherapy. And Father, the congregation raises the following prayers for other needs. We pray for Marilyn, for extra measure of faith, and for a faith as she contemplates baptism. For the peace that passes all understanding, for Tim, a soldier, that he might have a heartfelt forgiveness that comes from only knowing you. We pray for strength and resolve for Mike. We pray for blessings for the Malenki family on the expectation of their granddaughter. Pray for safety and delivery of the baby and for mom, and for safe travels for Julia and Dan. And Father, we pray for our very own Comfort Dog ministry team and for our Comfort Dog Peace as they travel to the Panhandle November 10th through 16th to comfort those affected by Hurricane Michael. Lord, in your mercy.
And now together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thanks will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Likewise, in the same manner, he poured the cup, and when he supped, he gave thanks. And he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you. sins they can forgive.
Thank you.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We bring you this week's announcements. The first announcement is about our Trinity Shares Christmas event. We will be providing gifts and food to children who have an incarcerated parent so that the parent may be a part of his or her child's Christmas. The children's names are provided to us by Angel Tree Prison Ministries. And please take one or more ornaments from the tree in the back and return the items no later than Sunday, November 25th. And the next announcement is about our congregational Thanksgiving dinner, which will be held Sunday, November 18th, starting at 12:15, so after the 11 o'clock service. Trinity's food service, which is the lunch program, Rich Pool, will prepare the turkey and dressing, and we're promised that it will be a succulent turkey. And then the rest of the meal will be provided in a potluck style, so you can bring your favorite dish to share. Bring your family and friends and enjoy a great time together of fellowship. Please check your Trinity Weekly for the potluck dish assignments. And then the next announcement is about the Trinity Family Community Outreach event, which is coming up in less than 1 month on November 30th at Lake Eola during the city's tree lighting ceremony. So we'll be sharing our gift from Trinity to our neighbors in the downtown Orlando, sharing that Christmas is still all about Jesus. The Trinity Lutheran School students will be singing. Trinity volunteers will be giving out cocoa, coffee, and treats, and hosting an ornament-making activity and a nativity photo booth, and meeting and greeting people and sharing information about our church and school ministries here at Trinity. We'd like to double the number of people signed up to serve this year, so watch your Trinity Weekly for details and learn more about where and how you can be part of reaching out in our community, or contact the office to ask more information about how you can participate. And then finally today, we invite David Wooten from Lifeline Children's Services, who's our guest today and sharing information about Orphan Sunday.
Well, it's good to be at Trinity with you today, and my name is David Wooten. I work for Lifeline Children's Services. We are a ministry that partners with churches like Trinity, and today we are here to have an adoption information meeting. So if you've ever wondered what adoption might look like for your family, what are the options, what are the possibilities, we're going to be having a meeting immediately following this service. We'll have some a light lunch provided as well. I am an adoptive dad. My wife Pepper and I have 5 children. 3 of them came into our family biologically, and just as they were about to be grown and gone, and I was about to become an empty nester, the Lord decided we should do this parenting thing all over again. And so we have adopted 2 others. The 3 that are grown and gone call themselves the originals. And the other 2 that have come into our family call themselves the littles. And so we have the originals and the littles. And it has been, adoption for our family has been one of the richest, grandest things that we have ever done in the Christian life. And so I'm grateful that God's given us the opportunity to be a forever family to children who didn't have a family. And so if you'd like to know more about adoption, let me invite you to come to the meeting that will be immediately following this service today. Thank you so much for letting me be at Trinity today and worship with you. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So we look forward to hearing all your information. Thank you. And that's all the announcements for today. So we'll join now in hymn.
Thank you.